So it's been a couple of years. We were hanging out with some friends one night and, you know, sort of catching up like you do when you hang out. Like, what have y'all been up to? You know, and so they're talking about different things. And this one couple said they'd gone out to dinner the other night. And we said, well, how was it? And the husband looked like really, really proud about what he was about to say. While at the same time, the wife's face got really, really red. And you could tell she was about to be really embarrassed by what was said. And so we leaned in and we're like, tell us more. And they had gone to the Macaroni Grill. And if you've never been there before, I don't know if they're still around, honestly, but they used to put these big loaves of bread on the table in front of you. And a normal couple would eat like one loaf between the two of them, maybe one and a half if they're like really hungry before the meal. Well, the wife didn't eat any, and her husband, my buddy, ate not one, not two, not three, not four, not like he was just going through them. Like he's six, seven, or eight or something at this point. And so, you know, they're still waiting for their food, and the waiter comes over with another loaf and is setting it down in front of them, and a little bit of self-control kicks in, too late, but it kicked in, and he said, you know what, I'm sort of full, I'm going to wait for my food. And the waiter set it down anyway and said, hey, I need you to eat this, and I need you to eat one more. And if you do, I'll pay for your dinner, and I'll throw in dessert for free on the house. Now, that's weird, right? Like, if a waiter said that to you, you'd, okay, tell me more, why, what's going on? My buddy asked no questions. He said, set it down, right? And he got to work and ate the next two. And the waiter seemed pleased. And so his wife said, what is going on here? And she said, well, the wait staff is blown away by the amount of bread one man could eat, right? They didn't think it was possible, so much so they're taking bets, right? Back amongst themselves over how much bread your husband's going to eat. And if he eats these last two loaves, I'm going to win the whole pot and your dinner's going to be free and we're all going to have a great night. And so he ate it, right? And that's sort of how it went. But since then, happy to report, there's been a radical transformation in his life. I'm telling you, if I put a picture of him then and a picture of him now up on the screen, I won't because he wouldn't like that. Some of you might know, I don't know. I'm not going to do that, but you wouldn't recognize him, right? He is a completely different person. He takes his health and fitness very seriously, right? His nutrition, working with doctors and working out and the weight, like he is a completely different person. He's focusing on his physical health, physical fitness, and that is a good thing, and he's not the only one. Right, that's become a large focus in today's world. And like I said, that's good, right? Our bodies, our physical health is important. God gave us these bodies. We're called to take care of them and to steward them in a way that brings glory and honor to Him. But here's the reality. While physical health is important, spiritual health and spiritual growth is infinitely more important. But I don't think that people give it the same kind of focus and attention when it deserves all the attention and more that we give our physical bodies and health. And we're going to see that in the Bible in 1 Timothy chapter 4. If you've got your Bible, go ahead and join me there. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 7 here in just a minute. And as a reminder, the month of July, we're in a series called Life Lessons. And this morning, we're focusing on the life lesson that we need to sort of have like forever, right, of spiritual growth in our lives. If you're taking notes, the title is Growing in Godliness. 1 Timothy 4, starting in verse 7, here's what the Bible says. Have nothing to do, very strong, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. While bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and for the life to come. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Train yourself for godliness. Physical training, yes, it has value. Godliness, however, has value in every way. Godliness impacts every second of our life. It matters for eternity. A godly life matters for every single one of us, young or old, no matter how long we've been walking with Jesus. Look with me again, verse 7. Have nothing to do with irreverent or silly myths. I want to make sure we understand what Paul, our writer, is talking about here. When he says irreverent or silly myths, he's talking about false teaching. He's talking about ungodly ideas that will pull people away from the truth of Jesus. And young Timothy is told, have nothing to do with that stuff, right? So ungodly ideas, ungodly teaching, ungodly conversation, it never leads to anything good, godly, or helpful. In fact, the opposite is true. Irreverent, silly myths, ungodly teaching, it leads only in one direction, and that is towards chaos. As we break down this section of Scripture, our first observation, much-needed command in the ancient world, and it's a much-needed command in this world as well, and that's this: steer clear of chaos. If you're taking notes, that's number one. Steer clear of chaos. Don't have anything to do with the ungodly pursuits of this world, right? Steer clear of it. Stay away from it, because if you don't, you will get caught up in it, and your spiritual growth will be slowed down. It will be affected. Not too long ago, on a road trip coming home with the family, and we're stuck in traffic. Everybody loves that on the tail end of a trip, and looking out the window, we can't see what's going on ahead of us. We're wondering why everything is slowed down, and when we finally get to a point where we're moving again, we've seen nothing, right? There's been no wreck, there's been no stalled car, there's been no construction at all in our lane, but on the other side of the highway, on the other side of the median, there's like a fender bender, and everybody in our lane's looking, they're distracted by it, they're looking over at it, their attention is on it, and it has dramatically slowed them down. And not only them, it slowed down everyone around them. In your life, steer clear of the chaos. Do not let worldly concerns slow down your spiritual growth. Do not let worldly concerns slow down your spiritual growth. In the first century, among the early church, the people getting this letter, there's plenty that we would look back on and classify as ungodly or chaos that would threaten their spiritual growth. And as you zoom out a little bit and look at the context, if you look at 1 Timothy as a whole, you see that there's false teachers that have come in, and they begin to distort the truth of Jesus. They would say, yes, Jesus taught this, but Jesus also taught this and this, and maybe this is okay too, right? They brought a lot of things in that Jesus did not actually say. The unfortunate reality is that a lot of people in the church family, like among the brothers and sisters like us, they entertained some of these ungodly ideas, and they were led away from the truth of Christ and into a season of chaos. And that same thing happens today as well. Sometimes the ungodly teaching that's presented to us is very easy to spot, right? It is blatantly promoting sin. It's blatantly promoting things that are not in line with the Word of God. And when we see that, and it's obvious, we've just got this choice to make. We're either going to do what God has told us to do. We're going to avoid that stuff, right, and turn to Him, or we're going to embrace that stuff, right? It is a very, very clear line. Sometimes, though, people try to pass off teaching as Scripture or as biblical or as right when it is absolutely not. There are those that would paint a false picture of the gospel, and sometimes these ideas, these teachings, or concepts might even sound good. They might even sound right or appealing, but I want to be very clear. Any teaching that goes against the truth of the Word of God, it's ungodly, and it is to be avoided. Here's an example, right? You're wondering, what is he talking? Here's an example. You've seen it on a t-shirt. You've seen it on a bumper sticker. I'm sure you've heard somebody say it, a phrase or something like the phrase, follow your truth. You've heard that, right? Some of you have. Sounds good. It's personal, right? Follow your, right? You can put an anchor down on that. Like, I can make this about me. It's got the word truth in it. And so if truth is in the phrase itself, it must be good. It must be right. There's truth in it. The word truth is right there in the middle of it. Well, here's the problem. That statement implies that truth can change person to person. That statement implies that truth can change situation to situation, scenario to scenario, feeling to feeling, and mood to mood. And we know that goes against what the Word of God says, that there is only one truth, and we find it right here. Jesus knew that this would be a problem for his followers, and he's actually praying in John 17 to the Father, and look what he prays for his followers. Then his followers, now John 17, 17 says this, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth, right? He wants the Word of God, right, capturing our hearts, because the Word of God is the truth. Psalm 119, 160 says, the sum of your word is truth. The sum of the Word of God is truth. And every one of his righteous rules endures forever. We have to pay attention. we have to pay attention. Our culture is full of ideas like that one I just shared that might sound good, but that ultimately will lead to chaos. We've got to pay attention to what we're listening to who we're listening to who our kids and family are ultimately listening to ensure the messages that we're allowing in that will no doubt shape our hearts and minds. We've got to make sure those messages are coming from and in line with the Word of God. Because when we stray from it, where do we go? We slow down that spiritual growth and we head straight for chaos. So, let's do what the Bible says. Avoid ungodly pursuits, false teaching. Got it. But what does that mean? What's it look like in my life? Well, look back at verse 7. It's not complicated. Have nothing to do with it. All right, have nothing to do with things that are not in line with the Word of God. I remember years ago, we were on a little vacation, and the place we were staying at had a pond out in the backyard. Now, at the time, my kids loved to wake up early on vacation, and that's just what every dad wants, right? You're finally on vacation at 5 a.m. You've got your kid waking you up saying, Dad, can we play now? I'm like, you can play now. I'm not going to play yet. And there was a lake out in the back. And they said, well, can we go out there? And we want to catch fish. I had no problem with that. But I had one rule for them. You probably know what it is, right? You can't get in the water without an adult. That's simple, isn't it? Does everybody here understand the rule? Does anybody have a question about the rule? Does anybody need further clarification about the rule? Of course not. I didn't do this in the first service because that kid was sitting right here, my son. I didn't want to embarrass him. But you know what he said? How close can I get? How close can I get to doing what you have told me not to do and still not get in trouble and still be in your go? All right, we laugh at that because kids are like that, but so are we, aren't we? There are a lot of things that are in our life that we see on a daily basis, and God has said, avoid those ungodly pursuits. Avoid those things that are going to slow you down spiritually or steer you away from me. And rather than avoiding them, there are many believers that entertain them, that try to manage sinful habits or patterns in their life, that try to get as close as they can to the fire without getting burned. Is that what verse 7 says? No. Verse 7 says, avoid it. Have nothing to do with it. And one of the things I prayed for this morning was, as we were talking about this section right here, I prayed that the Lord would bring to your mind things in your life that need to be avoided that you're not avoiding. Things that you're trying to manage, things that you're trying to hide away from other people in your life. I prayed that the Holy Spirit would bring those to light in your mind and that you would be obedient to what God's calling you to do, right? That you would avoid, that you would turn from these things, that you would repent, and that you would do something else instead. And not something random. I pray that you would do what the second half of the verse actually says, that you would focus on godly pursuits. Look at the second half of it. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. So have nothing to do with ungodly things in this world that are going to slow down our walk with Christ. But instead, look at the second half of the verse. Train yourself for godliness, right? That's our second observation today. Train yourself to be godly. Right, God's word is calling us as believers, avoid the chaos of this world and instead live a godly life. Don't overthink this part either, right? A godly life is simply a life that honors God, that's in line with his word. It shows a love for him. It shows a love for other people. It's a life that's based on what he's told us right here. Is a godly life going to be a perfect life? Absolutely not. Not even close. But is it going to be a life where the pattern is consistently a pattern of desiring the word and the love of God above all things? Absolutely. Now, is a life like that going to just magically happen on its own? Absolutely not. Look what the verse says, verse 7. What do? Train yourself. Train yourself. That's what he's called us to do. Now, the word train, when we think about training something, I think about you train our dog, right? You put a treat on there, like you train the dog to do tricks. That's not what this is. Right, the training that you are called to, and I want you to make this personal, the training that you are called to, this is individual to each one of us, the training that I am called to, the training that we as believers are called to, it's a kind of training that requires discipline. It's a kind of training that requires focus. It means moving past distractions, and there are plenty of distractions to achieve desired results, right? The intentional imagery that the Bible is giving here is meant to tie our minds to some kind of physical training. Look at verse 8. While bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and for the life to come, right? Our minds are taken to physical training here because we're people, right? And we can absolutely relate to that. Paul wrote this letter to a culture where people spend a lot of money and time and energy on their bodies, right? They wanted, many of them wanted to look a certain way for festivals and parties. Many of them wanted to feel and perform a certain way in the athletic contest as well. So physical training was a big deal in their culture. And I think that we'd all agree that it's a big deal in our culture right now too. This will blow you away. In the U.S., you include fitness and surgeries and weight loss stuff, makeup products. Americans spend over $100 billion a year. Americans spend more on looking and feeling good every year than the entire country of Tanzania is able to produce. That's like 70 million people, right? So everything they grow, they build, they manufacture, they sell, we outspend them on haircuts and makeup and gym memberships that a lot of us don't actually use. Think about the effort that people put in physically, the desire to look and feel and be a certain way. For a lot, physical training, appearance, health, that is always front of mind. And what does the verse say? That has value. That's not a bad thing. Physical training is of some value. Do not neglect it. God gave you the body. He's only given you one, right? And you've got to live in it. You've got to be a good steward of it. You've got to honor him with it. Absolutely. But look back at verse 8. Physical training is only worth some value. Godliness is of value in every way. Listen, one day our bodies are going to be dust. And I worry that a lot of us invest heavily in our bodies while investing little to nothing in our souls. Recent consumer survey says the average American spends 30 minutes per day on their appearance. I thought that stat was low. But even if you go with 30 minutes a day, that's 182 hours per year. Right? I can promise you, 30 minutes a day spent in your Bible, filling your heart and soul with the truth is going to change your life significantly more than any time you spend in front of a mirror. Right? This verse helps us understand there's value in physical training. It's temporary. Godliness, right? Godly training, the Word of God, it is a forever thing. So just push back a minute and just think about this objectively, right? Objectively speaking, what is the wise thing to do here? Where should the bulk of our focus, the bulk of our investment be? On the temporary or on the eternal? Again, make the effort. Take care of your body. That's right. It's important. Be healthy. Be strong. Glorify God with how you steward your body. But the effort that you put forth physically should not even begin to compare to the effort you give to be godly. Look at verse 7. Train yourself for godliness. Verse 8. Why? Because godliness is of value in every way as it holds promise for the present life and for the life to come. Look at that word promise. It's found in the middle of verse 8. That phrase, with promise, is found only one other time in this section of the Bible, in these letters. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and the promise is that we have life in Christ. So put this together, right? Avoid the chaos, the sin, the ungodliness of this world, and instead find life in Christ. That's the message for us here, right? Well, we've got two options. Embrace the chaos of the world, or let's train ourselves to be godly. Find life in Christ now that we're going to enjoy literally forever with him in heaven. And I get it. When you get to verses like this in Scripture that train yourself to be godly, there's some people, because of prior experiences, that they think that it's drifting into maybe a legalistic set of rules that we've got to flesh out. But hear me, the goal isn't rules. The goal isn't a checklist. The goal is Jesus. Look how the passage ends. Look at verse 10. For to this end we toil and strive. So the toil and striving, that's the discipline, that's the effort, that's the work that we're putting into this, training ourselves to be godly day in and day out. Why? Because we have our hopes set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people. We're not saving ourselves. He saves us, especially those who believe, right? A godly life is possible because we have a Savior that loves us, that invites us into a relationship with Him, and our lives flow from there. So in verse 7, we've got a command. And in verse 8, we've got a promise, right? Avoid the chaos, train yourself, or focus your life, focus your attention on godly pursuits, and you will have life in Christ now as you navigate a crazy world, and you'll have life with Christ forever, right? It's a massive promise in Scripture. I've heard big promises. You've heard big promises from people in your life. Some people come through, others do not. Listen, I'm telling you that the Lord comes through on His. So if you're a believer in Christ, you can count on the promise that you see here, right? Life with Christ now and in eternity. But I want you to think about the now for just a minute. We focus on eternity a lot. Think about the now, your life now, or as verse 8 puts it, think about the promise in this present life. Every day you walk through this life, especially as you're growing with godliness, you're walking through with Jesus, aware of His presence in your life, and you're able to count on the promises that He has given you for your life here and now. Right here, here's a list. They're going to put it on the screen. This is a snapshot. It is the tip of the iceberg. There is so, so, so much more, but I want you to see how this godliness has an impact in your present life. God's promise in Romans 8 to be with you, right? Nothing is going to separate you from His love for you. He's promised you a full and abundant life in John 10. Answers to worry, answers to our fear, hope in our struggles, and comfort in our grief. He's promised to provide abundantly and richly everything that we need in Him. And He's promised to give us wisdom as we navigate the challenges that we will have to navigate in this world. And this is just a taste of the promises for those in Christ. I want you to see, training yourself for godliness. There is so much value to us in our everyday life. Physical training, yes, yes, value, but it fades. There's an expiration point. At some date, at some point in time, time and gravity is going to win. But godliness, man, the abundant life that's available as you walk with Jesus, it gets even more and more exciting. As you walk with Jesus, as you live this godly life, that the people around you, they're going to be pointed to Jesus as well. Right? The benefits of living a godly life are going to impact everyone in your world. Your family is going to be better off as you walk with Jesus. Your marriage is going to be better. Your kids are going to be better. Your coworkers, your neighbors, everyone you meet will be better as you walk with Christ. Life is better here, and eternity is promised because of our relationship with Christ. There is nothing better, nothing sweeter than walking closely with Jesus. So, how do we do it? Right, He tells us, avoid the worldly stuff, and instead, train yourself to be godly. So how? Go back to the illustration that's already in the verses, in verse 7 and 8. He has our minds thinking about physical training. We know what that takes, right? How would you physically train for something? If you were going to run a marathon, would you just get up off the couch and go? Probably not. You'd probably have some kind of plan that's laid out for you. If you wanted to get stronger, would you just go to the gym and mess around? Probably not. You'd have some kind of plan or trainer that's helping you with it, right? You'd figure out what you need to do, and then you would work that plan. Well, when it comes to training and godliness, it's the same kind of thing. So this morning, if the goal is to avoid chaos and train ourselves to be godly, we need to make sure that we have a plan. And if you're unsure, like if you don't have a plan to grow spiritually in your life, I'm going to share one in a minute that literally anyone can follow. But before I share it, I want you to look at verse 7 one more time. Rather, train yourself to be godly. The language ties us to physical training to help us understand that the discipline is required here. And I want to encourage you with this. If you're not growing spiritually right now, if your focus has not been on the Lord and on His promises there in your life, and if He's working in your heart right now, if you're thinking, oh, that's me, I haven't been, but I want to be, I want to encourage you. As you begin to make these changes in your life, there are moments where it's going to feel challenging for you. There are moments where it might feel hard to really develop this routine on a regular basis. There might even be moments where you feel like, oh my gosh, there's too much time, too much work, I'm going to give up. If you ever feel like that way, let me encourage you, keep going. I'm not sure who coined the phrase, but I wrote it down. I've never forgotten that. I'd encourage you to write it down too. And just remember, keep going until your discipline becomes a delight. Because there's going to be a moment as you are daily employing these disciplines in your life where I'm just telling you, you're going to begin to crave what we are talking about here. Keep going. And with that, I'm going to share a training plan. As I begin to share it, I'll say a couple things about it. After the first service, a guy caught me in the lobby. And two guys, they didn't know each other, both relatively new to our church. And it's funny the angle that they were coming at. One said, "Hey, man, that was great what you said today. This week, I'm actually going to do that." And I thought, well, what about all the other weeks? I don't know if that's what he meant or not. But he said, "This week, I'm actually going to do it." And then the other guy that had walked up said, like, it's funny how God sort of brought them together. He's like, "Dude, you totally have to. Like, the Lord put that on my heart like a month ago. And I started doing it. And I'm telling you, my life is dramatically different from spending time with the Lord every single day." So the way that God brought the two of them together, it was really, really neat for one of them to hear the testimony of the other one. So I want to encourage you, right? If this is not your daily discipline or habit, to get into the Word and to begin moving with what God has called you to do, right? Train yourself for godliness. Here's how in your training plan. Number one, trust Jesus, right? Seems elementary. A lot of us in the room might even be past that step, right? This is all about knowing Him. Right, it's about knowing and growing in your relationship with Him. So if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, then it's really hard to grow in your relationship with Christ. It starts by trusting in Him as your Lord and Savior, becoming a new creation in Christ, becoming a child of God, where you look to Jesus and Jesus alone for the forgiveness of your sins and a right relationship with God. At camp this past week, we saw 76 students trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And as these verses say, they're going to enjoy life with Him now and forever, right? It starts by trusting in Christ. Once you've done that, once you've trusted Jesus, you've got to talk to Jesus, right? Pray, right? Very basic. Spend time in prayer. And as prayer becomes a constant discipline in your life, your heart more and more as you face these moments is going to turn to Jesus and away from the chaos of the world. And the more we pray, the more it naturally begins to flow. And you're going to find yourself having conversations with the Lord throughout the day as you're walking through what He's placed in front of you. Don't reserve prayer for bedtime and dinner time, or right? It is an ongoing process throughout the day. Easy example. You're in the grocery store and you see a couple. Man, ask God to bless their marriage. You're in the grocery store and you see a little kid running around. Say, God, get a hold of that kid's heart and let that kid walk with you all the days of their life. Right? As God puts things in front of you, just pray about it. Whatever it is, the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians that we are to pray without ceasing. Right? If we're going to grow in godliness, we've got to talk to God. Right? So talk to Him. Number three, read your Bible. Read your Bible. There are a lot of people that say, I'm just not a reader. I think that's sort of a cop-out. Most people read more social media in a day than Bible in a month. Think about that. Most people read more on social media in a day than Bible in a month. Should not be. The Bible tells us here, train yourself for godliness. Man, that's discipline. That's focus. We know what it is. Open up the Bible and start reading. Let the truth of the Word of God shape your heart and shape your life. A lot of Bibles in the back of it or in the front of it have a Bible reading plan. You pick one and jump in. A lot of you have the YouVersion Bible app on your phone, right? There's a tab at the bottom that says Bible reading plans. Quick Google search will give you some. You could pick a big book of the Bible and get going. The whole point is just get going. All right, if Bible reading is not a part of your life, get going. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all Scripture is breathed out by God. It's profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, and what? Training in righteousness. If the command is train yourself in godliness, I'm telling you, I promise you, you can't train yourself. You cannot train yourself to be godly apart from the Word of God. Get in the Word and get started. Number four, get a training buddy. Get a spiritual workout partner. Right? A lot of people that go to the gym, they have workout partners. There's accountability when it comes to their physical health. Why? Because it works. Right? We are better together. We encourage one another. Let me just ask, do you have a spiritual training buddy? Right? Do you have somebody in your life that cares whether you grow or not? Someone that's pushing you to grow or not? Do you have that person in your life? If not, I encourage you, find them, right? Get in a life group and find that person. And if you are growing spiritually, do not neglect this step. There are people in your life that aren't. You need to be their spiritual workout buddy. 2 Timothy 2:2 talks about how we're supposed to pass on what God has entrusted to us. And so if you're not bringing other people along, you're missing a very critical part of your spiritual growth as well. Our students, man, they grew so much last week. Amazing to hear the stories. We have been loving it, absolutely loving it. Guess what? Whether they realized or not, they had spiritual workout partners, right? They had accountability partners all week long. They had leaders every step of the way, all their activities all day long, taking them back to Christ. They had pastors there. They had worship leaders there pouring into them. They were pouring into one another all week long. That's the way the camp's designed, to get them talking to and encouraging one another as well, right? And I challenged the parents in that first service, because many of the parents of the students were here, like, what kind of buddies do they have when they get home? Right, moms and dads, what kind of spiritual training buddies are you with your kids? Are you encouraging them? Are you pushing them? Are you carving out that space and time in your home where they know that these disciplines matter? Listen, if you got kids in your house, like, be that for them. Encourage them. Push them. Spur them on. Care about whether or not they grow. Men connect with other men. Women connect with other women. Man, couples, I'm telling you, your marriage will be radically transformed if you surround yourself with other couples that care about your walk with Jesus. If you don't have that in your life, man, get in a life group here. Find it. Find people that will invest in you. Like every other discipline, we are more successful in community. That's the picture we get in God's Word. And then finally, as you're doing all this, man, don't forget to love people, right? As we grow in our love for the Lord, we know that He said the second most important thing behind loving Him is to love other people, right? So do that. Right, serve people well, invest in people well, share what God's doing in your heart and life with those around you. I'm telling you, spiritual growth comes in leaps and bounds when we begin to serve other people, loving them like Jesus. Back to verse 7, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. Your body's going to last a few years. Your soul's going to last forever. Many of us in here have a plan for our bodies. Make sure that you have a plan for your soul. And I'm telling you, you will enjoy life walking with Jesus more than you ever could have imagined. Would you pray with me this morning? And as we bow, I just want to encourage everybody, no matter where you're at in your walk with Christ this morning, to just offer up a simple prayer in this direction. Just thank God that He wants to be in a relationship with you. Thank God that He loves you enough that He sent His Son Jesus to make a way for you to know Him. Thank Him for that. That's true for every single one of us. And as you thank Him for that, but begin to get specific about where God's Word was working in your heart this morning. Maybe you're in here, and like I said earlier, God was bringing to your mind certain things that you have been entertaining that you really should be avoiding. And if that was you, I just pray that you'd go before the Lord right now in a spirit of prayer and ask God for forgiveness of that. Ask Him to help you to turn from that and instead to focus on training yourself for godliness. Maybe you're in here and you, if you were honest, you'd say, you know, there's been little to no thought or effort of spiritual growth in my life in quite a while. Maybe you say you're more interested in the physical or the temporary, and you know that God's calling you. You see it in His Word, right? That God's calling you to focus on your relationship with Him. And if that's you, get real before God this morning and say, God, I'm leaning in. I'm leaning in. I'm going to do what You have said. Ask Him for the strength, the boldness, the discipline. Ask Him to capture your heart fresh and new as you begin to walk with Him like you never have before. Just a minute, we're going to stand. We'll sing one last song. And as we do, we'll have pastors down here at the front, and we'd love to pray with you, right? Maybe you need to do step one. You got to trust in Christ. Maybe you want to come and ask for prayer over something that's going on in your life, something you need to avoid. Maybe you want to ask for prayer, just strength and discipline to do what God's calling you to do. Or maybe you've got a scenario or circumstance going on in your life that is altogether different this morning. Whatever it is, I just want you to know, when we stand and sing, our pastors will be here. That's your invitation to come and pray with one of us. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. And God, we pray that you would capture our hearts and minds. And God, that everything would be for you and about you, for your glory, God, in our lives. And God, we just, again, we were so, so thankful, Lord, that you love us and care enough to invite us into that relationship with you, Father. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Champion Forest Online. We hope today's message encouraged and inspired you. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We would love the opportunity to get to know you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. We're so glad you joined us today, and we'll see you again next time.